with us. Well, we are certainly always blessed. Pastor Doc, make your way on over here. Always blessed when Pastor Doc ministers. He is such a wonderful preacher and teacher of God's Word, and just a long, you know, I remember, I think it was Eugene Peterson that wrote a book a number of years ago that he called it A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. And this is one of those men who've been walking with the Lord a long time, faithfully and with integrity. And I know that, as I will, you will hear him gladly tonight as he teaches and preaches from God's Word. So tonight I'm going to ask you just to stand with me and let's welcome our granddaddy pastor, Pastor Doc Shelf.
Love you, brother. Thank you so much. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. What an honor for me to be here in this pulpit. I so honor Pastors Eddie and Mickey and the leadership here. I just honor what God's doing here. You know, this is a good day to be alive, isn't it? So we see a lot of things we don't like, but I'll tell you, I love what Dutch Sheet says, God's never catching up. God don't get behind. And he's just good. Sorry June couldn't come tonight. She's fighting the cruds. Bless her heart. And she's going to make it in Jesus' name. She's just not for sure. But anyway, you know, it makes you feel awful. But anyway, she's going to be all right. But she wanted to so come tonight, but just absolutely couldn't. So I discouraged her. And if I'd have encouraged a little, she'd have come on anyway. But I said, I think maybe you need to stay home tonight. And she did that. But anyway, thank you for being here. excuse me. Pastor Eddie has been doing a series on spiritual warfare that I think has been par excellent. And he mentioned about possibly me just jumping in there, but I think if I did, I'd mess it up. Because I don't want to mess that up. I've so enjoyed and look forward to the amen, whenever that is, down the road. So I didn't get a revelation on the helmet of salvation, brother. I mean, I did think about it a lot, I promise. But let me talk to you. Maybe it connects somewhere, at least I hope so. Because I think this is where we are. I think there's one fight we all fight as believers. It's the fight of faith. If the devil can get anything from you, it'll be your faith. And so I want to talk to you about how to live in faith. So if you have your Bible and want to go with me, a couple of three verses I want to look at before we get to our 3 points. And over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, very familiar, all of these will be very familiar to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7. Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So immediately we are introduced to two ways of walking. We either walk in faith or we walk by our 5 senses, our perception. In other words, we're ruled by what the information our 5 senses bring into our thinking and even into our feelings and behavior. So Paul said, "For we walk," the word walk, as you would know, simply means that's how we live. For we live by faith, and we don't live by sight. So go over now, again, a familiar passage in Hebrews 11. Jump down to verse 6. Hebrews 11, 6. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, when I look at that there's a call on all of us to live by faith, not by sight. That's God's mandate for every believer. And then when the writer of Hebrews says, for without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then I get to thinking, well, how did I get in the kingdom to start with? Well, I didn't get in because I started the church. I didn't get in because I started reading my Bible every once in a while, or praying, or trying to be nice to people, or voting on election day. All of that is good. I told a fellow one time, I said, you know, if you quit drinking, doing drugs, chasing women, and robbing banks, you wouldn't be any more saved than you were before while you were doing it. We can do nothing to make ourselves saved except faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He and He alone is our salvation. So when I think about that, I think about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved. Saved. Aren't you glad? I just love that word. Aren't you glad? Saved. For by grace are we saved through faith. Faith is the vehicle that brings us into that dimension of saving grace. So we got in the kingdom by grace and faith because that's the way God has ordained our adventure. Well, when we got in the kingdom, why should anything change? I got in by faith. Now we live by faith and not by sight. Now there's three questions I want to ask, and hopefully we get them answered tonight. Here they are. The first one, so what does faith look like? Second, how does faith come? And third, how does faith work? So those are simple to me questions, but I think they need to be addressed. So what does, in fact, faith look like? In Hebrews 11, three verses of Scripture that I will read and refer to that are powerful, and all of you would know them. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. What does faith look like? Let's talk about the heart of faith. The writer here starts out by identifying something that we all need to understand. Now faith is. Or you could turn that around and just say, faith is now. Now is faith. Faith always. Please hear me. Faith is always present tense. You can never believe God tomorrow. Because when you get there, it's now. The only time you can believe God is now. And once faith has been exercised, it operates in a now. Now faith is. So that's how we all begin. I had a professor, I won't call names, I had a professor at UNA years ago, right after the Depression. But anyway, it's been a while. So when I was at UNA, this professor, I'd share the gospel. He was a brain. The guy was is incredible. And I marveled in his intelligence. So I'd share the gospel with him. His word to me about the gospel, he's working his way into the kingdom. Can I tell you, unless he changed, he never made it. Because when faith is operating in your life or mine, whatever dimension that is, it's always now. And then the writer says, now faith, present tense, is the substance of things hoped for. One of the big confusions with all of us, I mean, we fight this, is thinking that hope is faith. But the Bible says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. In other words, if you study that word, and we got a guy on the front row, you could do better with this than I. But the word substance simply means that it comes under hope. How many of you know, without hope, we'd be among men most miserable. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. We must have hope. Hope is confident expectation. Listen to me, but it's not faith. So don't, because, listen, faith is present tense. Hope is always future. Always. Confident expectation. Things are going to get better. So what does faith do? It comes under hope and gives it the foundation of what hope is all about. We've got confident expectation. Things are going to get better. Faith comes in and says this. This is what I said about it, and now you can know it. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now watch this. The evidence of things not seen. Faith is not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. Now there's natural faith, that we all live by. Like, for instance, A little while ago, I left the house and got my keys out on the way to the truck. And you go, why are you going there? I'm going to crank the truck. How you know you are? I got faith. But that won't save me. You know, we're talking about a supernatural knowing. So faith is the substance that comes under hope, and it becomes the evidence of things not seen. Please underscore, not seen. The word evidence, and I don't want to get into my Greek is terrible. I only know one. They run a restaurant down the street. But anyway, the word evidence is proof of ownership. Actually, it can be translated. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, the proof of ownership, or the title deed to what you're believing. I could go home tonight, pray not, but I could go home tonight and walk in the front door and there'd be somebody there talking to June and say to June, you know, I like your house, I think I'm going to move in. I like it, I'll take it. And I say, well, you can't do that. Well, I'm bigger than you, I can whip you, I can do what I want to do. But, I'd say, but I got a title deed to this place. If you mess with the title deed, you've got to mess with the law enforcement bigger than I. So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the title deed. Now when the devil comes to get your house, you tell him what your deed is. This is what God said. And you can't have my house. Hallelujah. Now that's the evidence of things not seen. Faith has a standard, and I found this in Scripture. Here's the standard, as the Scripture has said. That's the standard of faith. It's found in John 7:38. As the Scripture says, faith is not something I feel, it's something I know. Now listen, feelings rise and fall, and they're good. God gave them to us. But faith comes to a place of knowing. Once it knows, then it operates on a standard of truth that is more powerful than any other thing. It's the truth of what God said. Once God said it, how many of you know, that settles it. Now, that's kind of the heart of faith. But the writer here went on to say, but the elders obtained a good testimony. I wrote this in my notes. The testimony of faith is good. It works. History proves faith works. And then he went on to say, "You by faith we understand." I love verse 3. I'd like to read it to a lot of, to be honest with you, a lot of folks that don't believe it. By faith we understand. The word understand, you can study that. The word understand means by faith we have a perception and an understanding beyond the five senses that the world was framed by the Word of God. Not by some bang, kaboom, that it all happened. Can you imagine? Some of you older saints would know Uncle Bud Robinson, who's in heaven now, back in the 30s and 40s, and he was an incredible, had a PhD mind, but didn't have an education. But God used him mightily. And he was, I think, up in one of the northern states, and some sister came up to him and called him, Dr. Robertson, do you believe that we all came from monkeys? Bud Robinson, he had a little list, and he said, well, sister, I hadn't thought much about it until I met you, and you may have something. So, how many of you know that you get enough degrees on your wall don't make you smart until you know the Creator who said this? By faith we understand everything that we behold and understand by perception came into being through the Word of God. By faith we believe that. See, I mean, come on now. This evolution thing is a theory anyway. Who wrote the history of it? Who was back there when it started? Right here it says it very clearly. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, came on. How many of you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then God did something. He spoke. And when He did, creation began to unfold itself. I'm telling you, that's the gospel. And let's touch that a minute. In the beginning, when God created it all, we understand this by faith. See, faith you can't put in a test tube, but it'll change the human heart. You can't put, listen, have you ever seen oxygen? Would you lift your hand? I'd like to know what it looked like. I've not seen it. I can't smell it. I can't taste it, but I live by it. You're breathing now. You're actually alive because of something your five senses cannot perceive. Isn't that amazing? For we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, when God in the beginning, it says it right here, when God in the beginning spoke, He spoke the Word. God is the Logos. In the beginning was the Logos, and the Logos was with God, and the Word was God, the Logos. When He spoke the Rhema of God. It's the word here, we frame by the Word of God. It's not the word Logos, it's the word Rhema, which is the quickened Logos. It's the Logos that is, that now is made alive. You understand? Logos, in the beginning was the Logos, the Word, God. God is the Word. When He spoke, it was a quickened, revealed Word. That Word came forth. It was creative and powerful and brought everything into being. Now, when the Logos, which is God's Word, becomes alive to me, then we move into another dimension, and that is this. How does faith come? It's an amazing thing how I say we, I'm not talking about you all necessarily, nor those online. I'm just saying, we come with all kind of ideas. Lord, give me more faith. Where's that in the Bible? The closest you ever come is this. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Faith doesn't come by just asking God to give you more. Let me just tell you what He said about it. Go over to Romans chapter 10, real quick. Romans chapter 10, you know it well before I ever get there. But look what it says in verse 17. So then faith cometh. The word cometh is in italics, which means it's not in the original. But you don't have to have it. But then faith by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing. And you know, you've got two sets of ears. Your spiritual ears can hear the Word of God. Once you hear the Word of God made alive, then you have the ability to believe it. That's how the transformation takes place. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Rhema of God. It's an amazing thing that that Jesus said to seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3. This is what he said. He ended seven letters to seven churches. He ended it like this. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Don't you think they had ears? Of course they did. They had five senses. He's saying to them, open your spiritual ears and hear the Logos made Rhema, and then you can walk. That's how faith is ignited in our human heart. It's when the Logos becomes alive. And I'll share a testimony about that at the end. So faith comes by hearing. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. In John chapter 8, verse 47, Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's word. Now the word there is the word Rhema. So there is the possibility of every one of us having the Logos, but hearing it come alive. My goodness alive. Every one of us. I'm not talking about seminary professors. I'm talking about every believer has the ability in God to take the Logos and watch the Spirit of God quicken it to the human heart. Therein, faith is birthed. So faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. The other one is in that familiar passage in John 6:63. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and life. The words, the Rhema that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. Now, you know the amazing thing, I think I've said this to you, but this so kind of jumps out at me right now. A number of years ago, before we retired, we used to have three services a day. Some of y'all remember that. I mean, a weekend. We had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. I don't mean a day, a week. Three a week. It doesn't matter if you didn't have a sermon. You better show up anyway. And so it was Sunday night, and everybody, taking a nap or something. And I'm sitting out under an old oak tree asking God to give me something to preach that night because I'm just crying out to God. God got on the oak tree with me, and he spoke to me. Now you got to remember, I didn't go as far as Pastor Eddie did, but I hadn't been that many years since I was in seminary, and I took homiletics and all of those classes you take, try to teach you how to preach. And there's one thing I came out of. They said, Doc, when you preach, have at least one point. That's what I got out of them classes. So have at least one point. And they said, read a lot of scripture, so if your preaching's bad, it's still good. Those are the two things I got. So anyway, so I'm sitting in that old oak tree, and the Lord got on that oak tree with me, and the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, son, you want me to tell you what preaching's all about? Well, that was a good question. I said, I sure do. He said, this is what I heard the Lord in my heart say. You find out what I said and tell it. Well, that's not complicated. And I just happened to be open to the sixth chapter of Romans. I had my Bible open there. I looked down at Romans 6. And all of a sudden, Romans 6 came from the Logos to the Rhema in my heart. It was alive in me. And I can tell you this. It wasn't 30 minutes till I'm looking at my watch. I can't wait for church to start. I don't have to go to church. I can't wait for church to start and my time to come. Because I when I got up, I didn't just look at an hour. I said, listen, folks, let me tell you what I found out. It was alive in me. Hey, you didn't know. It's just like it is in these guys. When the Word is alive, it will minister life to you. I've heard too many sermons that Herschel Ford printed. Just sermon outlines we got somewhere. But when it is Rhema, let me tell you what I found out. You see, that's where faith is. Faith comes from the Rhema quickened Logos. And when that happens, I'm going to tell you, hell's got a problem. When you start believing at that level, hell's got a problem. Hallelujah. And I've told you this story, but it rings true. The old story of Betty Baxter years ago, we had her a couple of times a few years ago, and she traveled with Oral Roberts all over the country giving her testimony. And she got a word. Jesus said, Betty, I'm coming. I think it was August. Betty, I'm coming August the 13th and heal you. She had 5 incurable diseases. Doctor sent her home to die. 17 years old. But she had a rhema from God. I mean, you go look at, she couldn't stand. She was confined and propped her up in a chair. And Jesus told her, Betty, August the 13th at 3 in the afternoon, I'm coming to your house and heal you. That's the word she got. Now, I'm not telling you that God always comes like that. I'm telling you, once you get it, hell cannot overcome it. You don't have to be some spiritual giant. When it's quickened to you, August the 13th, and there's a lot around August the 13th. Betty told us in person. Betty said at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, it was a hot day, and the wind of God hit our house at 3 o'clock. I heard the clock strike 3, and the curtain stood straight out. And all of a sudden, over in the corner was a white fleecy cloud, and Jesus stepped out of it. Come on now. Have you known that Jesus coming out of the cloud, listen to me, was no more real than the rhema she had. Same Jesus. He now is just manifesting what he said. Walked over and healed her. She said, he walked up close to me in the chair. They had me propped up, and I'm trying to reach him, and I can't. Finally, Mama cried out, Jesus, you have to move a little closer. She can't touch you. But he never moved until I was exhausted, and my hands fell beside me, as if to say he and he alone will get all the glory. Betty said he took a step toward me and laid them hot hands on me. And my vertebrae started cracking and popping. My heart popped into place. And just a moment's time, she said, I stood up. Completely, totally. On one thing, she had a word from God. Now, having a word from God and wishing you had a word from God is not the same. Sometimes we wish we were in faith. When we're not of it, God don't condemn us. That's not the point. God's trying to encourage us. So faith comes by the quickened rhema word from God. But once you get a word, how does that work? That's the last question. How does that work? God forbid that I'd try to come up with any kind of system, and that's not my point. This what I'm about to tell you comes out of a lifetime of living. And struggling, and still am. So, let's see if we can figure out how does faith work? Well, first of all, it begins with information. How many of you know, now faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. Now what it said in Romans 10? So it starts with information. It doesn't matter what my situation is, the first thing I need to know and I need to find out is, what is God saying about my situation? I need to find that out. Go, you say, how am I going to find it out? You got a book. Right here it is. There's 66 of them. It's amazing. And I know you read it. I'm not making light of that. But go to the book and find out. See what the book says. It starts with information. Because you got information, I don't mean that you're in the quickened rhema word yet. But you're on the journey. So you start with information, and you pray into that. You meditate on that. Watch what the Spirit of God does. He moves it to another level. The next level will be revelation. It'll become live to you. Once it's life, faith will start operating around it. I mean faith. I mean the same Jesus that was raised from the dead that lives in all of us now has quickened by the Spirit His Word, whatever it is, in our hearts. Okay, you've got information, you've got revelation. The third thing you've got to come to, what does that mean to me? What about application? How do I apply that to my life? And if I can figure that one out, if I will now, with my information, take that revelation and make an application, I'll step into God's transformation. I'll be changed. My life, you can't step into that and stay the same. We all will be changed. You know, when I think of this whole process, and I've lived it out many years. Not that I'm some Smith Wigglesworth. That's not my point. My point is, I'm just trying to say, listen, God has enabled us. Don't give up. Don't back up to walk in faith and not by sight. Listen, we live in a world right now. If you're walking by sight, you're confused, you're frustrated, you're mad. And I cannot deny what I see, but listen, I can deny its right to rule my life. If I've got a bigger word than what my senses are telling me, and I choose that other word, I'm going to walk in. Don't you think when you read the early church, they had to walk in faith? So, here, not too long ago, you know, I'm not here to give you my healing testimony. I'm here to give you an application that brought transformation. I'm in Centennial Hospital when the doctor says to me, there's a mass down in your colon we cannot touch. We'll have to have a surgeon to remove it. And June's a prayer. She's a prayer. And say, what were you doing? Nothing. Say, you wasn't doing nothing. I wasn't doing nothing. All I knew is I had peace in my heart about this whole thing, and I didn't know why. I would have fainted had I not believed. Let me know, she could have fainted. I could have fainted. Let me tell you, the word she got as a rhema word, I think, saved my life. He said, yeah, and you didn't have a word? No, she had the word. And the word she got, she took it to the throne of grace and wouldn't move over what was real to her. I mean, she didn't sit around and discuss it with me. I didn't even know she got the word till it was over. I was surprised as she was. Or the doctor was. She wasn't surprised. She had the word of God. I would have fainted had I not, there's the word, believed. And the day of the surgery and the whole nine yards, the doctor comes out in 30 minutes and walks over to June and said, it's gone. I can't find it. Dr. McRae, the cardiologist at San Diego, said, Doc, we take pictures. He said, here it was. One of our elders back in the chapel, Mike Lee, who's in heaven now, contracted cancer at the back of his throat. We started praying like that. It was like a year about every situation, and ask God and pursue God and meditate on it with God until what we are now, what we've discovered, becomes life to me. Once it does, faith will be operating. Now, how many know you got saved by faith, right? We started that. Got saved by faith. This is kind of redundant here. How many people in this building are saved? Raise your hand. That where I am, I've not arrived. We're all in the process. I'm just challenging all of us to no matter your situation, find out. Get God's information on it. And then go to God and ask God by the Spirit of God to cause that information to become revelation to you. And when that happens, you'll step into it. And when you step into it, it'll change your life. Don't have to be healing. A Catholic nun stood in the aisle of a Methodist church and prophesied to me. I didn't know they could even do that. I think she's more saved than I was, and I didn't know it. But anyway, she prophesied to me, there'll come a day that you'll have pastors in their churches. And I'm standing there like this, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm going to the moon in the morning too. Yeah, it was that ridiculous to me. And you're going to travel in different countries. Yeah. Yeah, I've been down to Waterloo twice. Do you understand? But she had a word. And she's talking from Revelation. And I'm over here in doubt and unbelief. But God's word's faithful. Here's what I want. Here's my heart tonight. As I end. Let me challenge it. All of us. This is all of us. This is me. Why don't we move whatever that thing is with you? What kind of faith do you have with it? See, wouldn't it have been good for Mike to say, you know, Doc, and God does this. But that wasn't where his faith was. Mike could have said, well, bless God, the Word says I'm healed. Well, it does say that. Do you believe it? Or you wish you believed it? See, I am in a children's hospital in Nashville. St. Jude's, as a matter of fact. With a single mother and a 10-year-old boy that had had leukemia and went into recession. Now it came back. And the doctors came in and I'm sitting with her and the boy and a nurse. The doctor sat down and I'm being honest here. The doctor sat down and said, called her by name and said, I've done all I can do. We can't do anything else. You know what? Inside of me, I wanted to stand up and go, no. Now, maybe I should have. But I wasn't operating in that level of faith. The little boy said, Mama, I want to go home. And they did, and not too long after that, he went to heaven. Maybe I missed it. But had I stepped out in something I wasn't operating in, it wouldn't have been right for her. Because we all actually live in what is real to us. Now, this book is real. You don't have to believe it for it to be real. It's real. But the question is, how real is it to me? You know, I promise to end here. We're talking about, we know we're saved. I was a little Methodist church stuck out in DeKalb County, February 1963. Came to the altar, been in conviction since I was 5 years old, and did the best I could of praying to receive Jesus and get saved. Well, I go home that day, Gina and I with my Mom and Dad, and ate lunch with them as we did almost every Sunday. And Dad gave, everybody was in and out of our house, Dad was giving my testimony. My boy got saved this morning. Didn't he? I guess. See, I thought I did, because I'd already had the devil ask me that afternoon, do you think you really got saved? I said, well, I thought I did. That night, I go back to that little church for the evening service. Preacher gets up in the pulpit and looks at me and says, Doc, it's customary in this church when you get saved, you stand up and tell it. I stood up scared to death. 23 years old, I stood up and said, this morning, I got saved. When I said that, my heart stepped into a rhema knowing. And when my bottom hit that old rickety pew, I knew that I knew that I knew. I was 23 years old. Can I tell you, blessed be God, I know that I know that I know, just like you. See, when you get in, when my heart and mouth gets in agreement with God in faith, that's what happens. And so, we started our journey February 1963. And my word for us tonight, let's step out on what we have. Why do we wait for more and more and more? Why don't we, let's if it's just a step, let's take it. Well, Lord Jesus, I believe. How much you believe? Take that step. Maybe it's a baby step, but take it. Quit trying to add more to it. Take it. Because I think when you take it, there'll be another one and another one. Before you know it, you go, glory to God, we've arrived. For the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord. You, and there's more coming as you get information and revelation and you begin to apply that. You'll see that you step further and further and further. And please, I've said it twice, I know, there is no condemnation in this. The Lord loves us, but the bridge between what God's got and what the believers can have, there's a big bridge, and faith is part of that for all of us. Is there anybody, well, your heads are bowed for just a moment, your eyes closed, anybody here wants to, you say, you know, I bear witness for that. I've got some things, and I'm going to take a step in my heart tonight and trust the Lord that we will continue. Would you stand right where you are if that's... Stand up right where you are. I'm going to take that step tonight. Yeah. God bless you. God bless you. Anybody else? Just stand up. Nobody's going to ask you anything. This is between you and Him. I'm taking that step. One step. One step. Anybody else? Father, thank you for these precious, precious ones. Thank you, Lord, that they have, they're out of the boat based on what you said. And Lord, they as you know, Father, they have moved on what has been quickened to them. And I thank you, Lord, that they're leaving tonight walking on water. And that, Lord, as they gather the information of what God is saying, that you quicken it to their hearts as they apply it to their life and watch God change everything. Thank you for these precious ones. Let tonight be the beginning of the rest of their life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. You may be seated, Pastor. I guess I'm...